Okay, we're back post game. So the story I was wrong about, it was the story of the guy that was on the BBC and the kids came in and he blocked them and it was that hilarious like viral video. And then a woman comes in, like races in there, grabs the kids, gets them out of the room.
She comes back crawling into the room.
Right, and closes the door, right? And it's just this hilarious viral video that we covered and we didn't know if it was the nanny or the mom. And I guessed the nanny because she seemed to care so much. Mm. And
moms don't care.
Yes, that was my theory. That moms are like, okay, dude, you should have locked the door. Whatever, you didn't. Yeah. And the kids are in there. It's not my problem, it's your problem.
Interesting.
Okay, if I'm going to take them out, I'll take them out nice and easy, right?
I would have guessed nanny too, so.
Yeah, because and whereas nannies are like, oh my God, my job's on the line. What have I done? Why is he there? Grab the kids, take them out. Mm-hmm. Crawl back in. No, it turns out it's a wife who actually cares.
It's the wife, yeah. They did that follow up. Somebody apparently asked him, if the reason he didn't get up and deal with it is because he wasn't wearing pants, and he said that he was wearing pants, so sorry.
Just a cute little story, okay? But there, hey, there's an example of my speculation that turned out to be incorrect, okay?
You missed one of the big ones, man.
Oh, that was a huge one.
Oh, they're gonna, for years, you're gonna get tweets about this.
That and Anthony Weiner. Anthony Weiner was an actual miss.
What was your miss?
Way back in the day when the first story broke, I'm like, nobody's that dumb.
Oh.
Anthony Weiner's a smart guy. There's no way he did that. This is some Breitbart bullshit.
You should
Oops.
Should get him on to talk about Anthony Weiner's messages to her.
Da, da, da. Wait a minute. Are you serious?
Yeah, when she started with me, he was messaging her some items, not pictures, just to be clear.
Items, but not packages.
Right.
Okay, interesting. Poor Emma.
Okay, you're right. I do have to talk to Emma about that. We'll have to do a post game on that one. Okay, and check out Emma's videos on TYT Politics too. Okay, so now the deep state. The deep state is real. Okay, so but let's break it down because it's way more complicated than that. So almost every state has a deep state. What does it mean? It means people that are in the government, and sometimes not even in the government, but that are powerful, that are outside of the normal power structure. So you got the president, the Congress, etc. But they exist in the parlance of Stranger Things in the upside down. And so, for example, I'll give you a great example. Turkey has a very, very deep state. Okay, now it's a little less deep because of Erdogan. There's lots of twists and turns here. Stay with me. So the deep state was created. Originally, the deep state in Turkey was actually a positive force because it was the military that would protect secular government. Mm-hmm. So if the government went towards more fundamentalism or corruption, the deep state would go, we're going to go outside the bounds of what normally happens in the structure that we have here. And they would overthrow the president who had gotten too power hungry, et cetera. But they would bring back a democracy. So
we had
very,
that in several countries.
Yeah, that's a very rare case of a positive impact from the deep state. Okay. Now, then Turkish deep state became terrible, the exact opposite. It was this guy who lives in Pennsylvania, Gulen. Okay. And he's got this kind of fundamentalist cult. And so he would get people entrenched into the Justice Department, into the intelligence services,
police,
military, even teachers, because they want to do propaganda, which is actually similar to our right wing, right? And the media. And so, I can go on and on about their practices, which is amazing, right? But they became the deep state. So, for example, a journalist would write something wrong, not wrong, right, about Gulen, but negative, and all of a sudden they'd get arrested. And so people would think that was Erdogan. And Erdogan in the beginning was working with Gulen, so in some ways it might have been. But sometimes it wasn't Erdogan at all, it was just Gulen, because he controlled the police, or some faction of the police. So since he was part of the deep state would take an action there, even though the government never actually ordered it. So things like that do happen. Now, in America, we had a very strong deep state in the old days. So all the coups in Latin America and Africa. Some of them, by the way, sanctioned by the actual government. Eisenhower was actually a very good president in a lot of ways, but disastrous in others. And he sanctioned the 1953 coup in Iran. Mm. And we took down Mossadegh, which was their democratically elected leader, because he didn't want to sell his oil for cheap enough. Oh, that turned out to have reverberating consequences that were disastrous. But sometimes the deep state would act without the permission of the president, going outside of the normal government structure.
Like if the president hadn't ordered his own assassination, for instance.
Exactly. So now it is my contention, and I believe it 110%, and obviously it's debatable, but I don't think it is. Otherwise, I wouldn't think it 110% that the deep state ordered the assassination of JFK. Now, when you say that, I get it. It sounds like, whoa, wait a minute. That's not what anybody has ever told me in the
media.
Calm
down, Alex.
Yeah, oh, that's a conspiracy theory stuff. Short story is read a long book. Devil's Chessboard by David Talbot, who originally founded Salon.com. Extensive research. It is one of many, many books that prove the obvious fact that JFK was not killed by a bullet that went like this, right? And the real conspiracy is that this guy who had nothing to do with JFK shot him from a million miles away with a magic bullet, and then was immediately killed out in the wide open by a known mobster who was on the public record as hating JFK. So that's the conspiracy theory, right? So in reality, Alan Dulles, who used to run the CIA but was fired by JFK, got a faction of the CIA to work with perhaps other forces, etc., and take action against our own government. That is a great example of the deep state, if I'm right. Now, with that brings us all the way to, does the deep state exist today, and is it taking actions against Donald Trump? Okay. And my theory on that, and now I'm going to open it up, curious to what you guys think, is that the deep state in America is greatly weakened. If it exists, it barely exists. There ain't nobody doing coups lately, and if they do, they usually bungle it. Like, I mean, Honduras probably sanctioned by the government, the coup by the US government in 2004, and that was bungled, right? I don't know if the coup in Turkey was sanctioned by anyone here. Probably not. It's a little unclear, but
Clearly
bungled, right?
Probably Turkish bungled.
Just probably regular old Turkish bungled, right, exactly. And I have interviewed people from the CIA who used to work at the CIA as agents. And they said, look, some guys are sleeping under the desk. I mean, it's a bureaucracy now, and it's atrophied, and there's nobody going dun 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 dun.
It's also harder to hide things.
Yeah. And now we also have great technology, so we can infiltrate the Russians without having to send families over there to live pretending to be Russians like they used to, and risking their lives like in the old days, yada yada. Anyway, but is that remnant of whatever is left of that deep state against Trump? Well, it's kind of a weird way of mischaracterizing it. Kind of, but it's not the deep state as much as it's a bunch of guys in the intelligence community who were pissed that he kept yelling at them.
And so calling them Nazis.
Yeah, and disrespecting them and all that. And it's their way of going, nah, fuck you back, right? So here's a couple of leaks. Well, that doesn't sound quite as sexy, right? But I think that's kind of what's going on here.
Well, with Trump, you know, whether you, on the campaign trail, he said, you know, a different thing every other sentence. Let's stop spending all our money overseas and building schools in Afghanistan. Let's do it here. And then he said, bomb, 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 you know, bomb the shit out of him. So who knows? But I do think there are people in and out of the US government that have interest in perpetual war. Mm-hmm. And Trump, when he was talking more isolationist, scared them. And does scare them when he's talking about we need to stop giving aid to other countries, things like that. There are people in our government, outside of our government, who don't like that kind of talk because they want America to be viewed as this menacing power around the world. Also, it might not be deep state, but let me tell you something. If Trump eventually doesn't rubber stamp everything Paul Ryan and these folks want, and his poll numbers are going down, there are people, there are Republicans in the government and corporations all over this country that will try to put Mike Pence in there as fast as possible. And they will use, whether it's Russia or any mix of ethic violations or things he's done. So that's not as much deep state as the corporate state. But
The regular state.
I could see that happening.
Yeah, I actually think that's almost exactly right. I think that the deep state now, the conspiracy is out in the open, and the deep state is just the donors.
Yep.
So, and now, in the old days, the way that it worked was they didn't have campaign donations. That's a recent phenomenon, starts in 1978, where the corporations can give unlimited, start to give unlimited money through lobbyists and PACs and stuff like that. And then it gets way on steroids on Citizens United. But so in the old days, it was like a club. And all those conspiracy theories about the cabals and stuff were largely true. So they were the Skull and Bones would literally tap you on the shoulder. And the guys at Skull and Bones wound up working at the State Department, the CIA, the government, etc. They were the Brahmins. They were the upper class of this society. So for example, the Dulleses, Alan Dulles and John Foster Dulles. One Secretary of State, one becomes the head of the CIA. And what did they actually do? They ran a law firm. And that's represented the biggest corporations in America. And so they were there to represent those corporations, so they keep on making money. So for example, before World War II, they had a lot of deals with the Germans. Mm-hmm. So for a long time, I don't know that the Germans were so bad. The Dulles brothers would sometimes host guys that came in to do Nazi propaganda in New York. Oh, the Nazis are actually fine, they're okay, and yada yada. Why? Because all their clients have deals with the Germans. Now, their clients aren't necessarily evil people who wanted to kill the Jews, and some of them, a lot of them didn't know that that was happening. But at a certain point, they knew bad stuff was happening, right? And they kept going a little further and a little further for money, right? Yeah. And so, and then some guy in the elite club runs a fucking banana company, and Honduras won't sell them the bananas for cheap enough. He'd tap on the shoulder, and that's knocked that fucking guy out. And it's a club. It was a club back then. Now it's much more dispersed. And so there's a lot of people that went to the top schools who were not in the elite families, right? But they wound up in elite circles. And the elite circles are not as much of a cabal anymore as groupthink and a common understanding. Well, and then the businessmen who used to just hire the lawyers or whatever and didn't have a revolving door inside the government, because it was much smaller back then, right? You have to remember how small the elite class was back then. It was kind of like the lords of America, the equivalent of in the UK. Now they've just institutionalized it. So instead of doing that, hey, put Bobby in there and Bobby will do it, they just go, okay, who wants to become a senator, right? Yeah. Okay, now here's what I'm waiving. I'll give $10 million to the guy who becomes my water boy, right? And it's a country of 330 million people. A bunch of people raise their hands and go, I'll be your water boy. And you got Scott Walker and Tom Cotton and Paul Ryan, etc. Marco Rubio, great examples. And then they become the deep state or the actual state.
The actual state, yeah.
Yeah, for the donors.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's good that people are talking about this because it's an interesting concept. As you pointed out, it has applications in not just our own country, but different time periods and also different countries currently. I don't know entirely what it is, like what explanatory power it's supposed to have. I mean, obviously we're experiencing tons of leaks on like a daily basis. Some of them are almost certainly coming from members of the intelligence community. As you point out, he has basically done everything he can to antagonize the intelligence community. Other leaks are coming from the White House. I mean, if you were to try to come up with an administration most prone to generating leaks, it would look a lot like this. A guy who's petulant and scary and does random things, attacks people when they're no longer useful for him. It generates the sort of disloyalty that we're seeing. And in terms of whether it's an organized thing or individuals, in this case, until something crazy happens, I would apply Occam's razor. If the same incentives are applying to individuals to function in a way that looks coordinated, then it can just be individuals. It doesn't require conspiracy at that point.
Mm-hmm. And if
like bankers, exactly. Like, it doesn't take an organized cabal of bankers to destroy our economic system if the incentives are perverse for every individual banker.
That's exactly right.
And if, you know, if they say business hates uncertainty, well, intelligence community hates uncertainty. And yeah. Trump coming in, tweeting about how, you know, they're stupid or whatever he was saying about the intelligence community.
Yeah, like that.
That freaked out a lot of these people.
Yeah, and also one other point. So, I mean, look, this is a guy who says that we should be freer with our use of nuclear weapons. He had to continually have explained to him why we don't use nuclear weapons frequently. A guy who said we might default on our debt. I mean, if you want stability in the status quo, he gave you basically every flavor of reason to be scared about him during the election. And I mean, I guess the deep state could exist but not be super powerful, but he became president. So it's certainly not all powerful.
Yeah, well, no. I will add that before Steve Bannon was in the government, he did not have an address, which recently
I've been seeing that.
Just saying.
How many Steve Bannons are there?
Maybe there's two deep states.
And
it depends on who the guy is and where they are in their position. If it's a mid-level intelligence guy, he's probably just pissed. If it's a top-level general, well, he's going to get $1 million payout from one of the defense contractors. Yeah. He's got a different motivation.
That's true.
And a stronger motivation, right? So it's a combination of those factors. Like one of the things that they don't talk about nearly enough is, you know, I mean, Trump says, all right, we're not winning with our generals, they're a mess, and then makes half of his cabinet generals. Okay.
Most respected generals, I'm hearing.
Yeah, I mean, one, we don't talk enough about that. But two, the other thing we don't talk about enough is how much the generals sell us out. That revolving door between the Pentagon and defense contractors is the worst revolving door. It's almost worse than the banker revolving door. Yeah, and so super unacceptable, but shh.
You'd be unpatriotic to question it.
That's right.
They're the best of us.
Yeah, you never get to talk about that. And by the way, how did that propaganda come about? That you can't ever question the troops, meaning the generals.
Well, the New York Times just did a piece saying the deep state does not exist. So they don't like talking about
maybe
it either.
Maybe they're in on it.
Mm-hmm. Ah. So, all right. Well, there you have it. That's our interpretation of the deep state, such as it is, right?
Admittedly, a shallow look at the deep state.
And at this point, they're not a deep state. They're a shallow state.
Yeah.
Yes. Or maybe even a shao state. All right, Jordan, thanks for being on. We appreciate it. We'll see you guys tomorrow.